Welcome to SCOTUSCast, Puerto Rico Bankruptcy and Federal Preemption Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 22, 2016, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Puerto Rico v. Franklin, California Tax-Free Trust, consolidated with its companion case, Acosta-Fabo v. Franklin, California Tax-Free Trust. Concerned that its public utilities were on the verge of insolvency, but could not obtain Chapter 9 bankruptcy relief under federal law, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico attempted to circumvent this obstacle by passing its own municipal bankruptcy law. This law, the Puerto Rico Public Corporation Debt Enforcement and Recovery Act, expressly provides different protections for creditors than those in federal Chapter 9. Investors who collectively hold nearly $2 billion in bonds issued by one of Puerto Rico's public utilities worried that it might seek relief under the new Puerto Rico law and sued in federal court, challenging the law's validity and seeking injunctive relief. The district court enjoined the enforcement of the new law, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit affirmed. Puerto Rico sought certiorari. The question before the Supreme Court is whether Chapter 9 of the Federal Bankruptcy Code, although it does not apply to Puerto Rico, nevertheless preempts the Puerto Rico statute creating a mechanism for the Commonwealth's public utilities to restructure their debts. Justice Alito is recused from this case. To discuss the case, we have David Skeel, who is the S. Samuel Arsht Professor of Corporate Law at the University of Pennsylvania Law School, and who submitted an amicus brief in support of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Skeel.
The background to this case goes back to 1984. The event that set it in motion was a decision by Congress in 1984 to add a definition of state to the bankruptcy laws. And the definition that's of state that Congress added says that state includes Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. for all purposes under the bankruptcy laws, except for defining who may be a debtor in municipal bankruptcy in Chapter 9. So 1984, Congress adopts a definition of what a state is for bankruptcy purposes. At that point and up to today, everybody agrees that the effect of that definition is to exclude Puerto Rico's municipalities from municipal bankruptcy. Whatever else it means, it makes clear that Puerto Rico cannot authorize its municipalities to file for municipal bankruptcy, and Puerto Rico is different from the 50 states in that regard. So that's the backdrop. Fast forward to 2014, Puerto Rico has been in severe financial crisis for a while. Puerto Rico knows that municipal bankruptcy is not an option for it, and so Puerto Rico enacts its own restructuring law, a territory restructuring law that people usually refer to as the Recovery Act. And what that act would have done would have been to allow a number of Puerto Rico's municipal entities, such as its electricity company and its water company, to restructure under a framework that looks a lot like Chapter 9. It's different in a number of ways, but looks a lot like Chapter 9. So 2014, Puerto Rico puts the Recovery Act in place, and several bond funds who hold bonds in Puerto Rico municipalities immediately challenged the Recovery Act. They made a number of different arguments, but the one that ended up getting to the Supreme Court was an argument that the Recovery Act was preempted by federal bankruptcy law, that federal bankruptcy law, and in particular the municipal bankruptcy rules, do not allow states to enact their own enact their own restructuring laws. Or actually, I should back up on that. Don't allow states or Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. to enact their own restructuring law. So bond funds challenged the Recovery Act. They won both at the district court level and at the Court of Appeals, the First Circuit level, and then the Supreme Court took cert, and on March 22nd, the Supreme Court heard arguments in the case. The bond funds argument is essentially that Puerto Rico is only excluded from one provision in all of the bankruptcy laws. The only provision that does not apply, the only provision where Puerto Rico is not a state is the provision defining who can use Chapter 9 municipal bankruptcy, and the particular provision is 109C of the bankruptcy code. So the bond funds argument is, for the purposes of defining who can use Chapter 9, Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. are not states, but they are states for every other purpose under the bankruptcy laws. That includes the other chapters of the bankruptcy laws. It also includes other provisions in Chapter 9. Lo and behold, there's another provision in Chapter 9, or there is a provision in Chapter 9. It's Section 903 that restricts states' ability to enact their own restructuring laws. So what the bond fund said and won with in both of the lower courts is that everybody agrees Puerto Rico can't invite its municipalities to file for bankruptcy because of the way state is defined. For all other purposes, Puerto Rico is a state. So Puerto Rico is a state for the provision in Chapter 9, which is Section 903, that says states can't enact their own restructuring laws. And the bond funds essentially say what Congress ended up doing is leaving Puerto Rico with neither option. They can't use municipal bankruptcy. They also can't enact their own bankruptcy law. What Puerto Rico said and says, their primary argument, and this is the argument they made most clearly in the oral arguments, what Puerto Rico said and says is that the provision defining who can be a debtor for the purposes of municipal bankruptcy, the provision that Puerto Rico is not considered to be a state for, is a gateway provision to Chapter 9. So that provision, which is Section 109C, as I said a moment ago, that provision is the gateway that sends you into Chapter 9, the provisions in the 900 series in the bankruptcy laws. And what Puerto Rico says is that if Puerto Rico is excluded from the gateway provision, if they're not included as a state for the purposes of 109C, that rules all of Chapter 9 out of bounds. Puerto Rico, nothing in Chapter 9 applies to Puerto Rico. So the argument is, by excluding Puerto Rico from 109C, or saying Puerto Rico is not a state for the purposes of 109C, Congress essentially excluded Puerto Rico being a state from all of Chapter 9. Now, it turns out that there's only one other provision that talks about states in Chapter 9, and that is 903, that preemption provision. So it's simply a straight interpretation debate, in a sense, with the bond fund saying that Puerto Rico is a state for all purposes except 109C, for all purposes except who can be a debtor in municipal bankruptcy, and therefore that other provisions, the other provision in Chapter 9 does apply to Puerto Rico in the sense that Puerto Rico is a state, and that's the provision that precludes states from enacting their own restructuring laws. Puerto Rico, on the other hand, says that by excluding Puerto Rico, treating Puerto Rico as not a state for the purposes of the gateway provision, 109C, Congress effectively excluded Puerto Rico from all of Chapter 9. Puerto Rico, in the oral arguments, also went on to point out that under the bond fund interpretation, Puerto Rico would end up being treated worse than either a state or than other territories. It would be treated worse than a state because states can invite their municipalities to file for municipal bankruptcy. Other territories cannot. Other territories are not defined as a state for Chapter 9 purposes, but other territories also aren't subject to the preemption provision in Chapter 9. They are not states for any purposes. So other states would be able to enact their own restructuring laws, is what Puerto Rico said. I should probably add a footnote on this. There are a number of issues that won't be decided by this case, or won't necessarily be decided by that, by this case. One of the issues is if Puerto Rico's Recovery Act is not preempted, if Puerto Rico wins in this case, might the Recovery Act still be struck down as unconstitutional? There are a number of arguments, the most important of which is that the Puerto Rico Recovery Act is inconsistent with the contracts law clause, which precludes states, and in this case a territory, from impairing existing obligations of contracts. So there's still an issue about that, even if Puerto Rico ends up winning the case. So what do I predict will happen? Most sane people do not predict or try to predict what the Supreme Court is going to do in any particular case. And I should note that my track record of predicting the Supreme Court is probably less than 50%. It's probably worse than flipping a coin. But I will nevertheless venture a prediction. And my prediction is that I think Puerto Rico is going to win the case. Reading the transcript of the oral arguments, it appears that Justice Sotomayor is very sympathetic to Puerto Rico's position. Justice Ginsburg is sympathetic to Puerto Rico's position. Justice Kagan seemed to be ambivalent, but she seemed to be fairly persuaded by Puerto Rico's arguments. So I think there probably are three justices that support Puerto Rico. Justice Breyer was skeptical, but seemed open, and my guess is he may end up voting with Puerto Rico. I suspect that it's possible even one or more of the conservative justices will vote with Puerto Rico. I should add, to put this in context, that there are only seven justices who will be voting on this case. As everybody knows, Justice Scalia passed away, and Justice Alito has recused himself. Not clear why he recused himself, but he has recused himself. So there'll only be seven justices voting in this case. So if there are four justices for either position, those four justices will carry the day. As I said, my guess is that Puerto Rico is going to win. I think they have a pretty strong textual argument. And in terms of the logic and what Congress seemed to be doing, there's no explanation that I've heard that's compelling as to why Congress would have wanted to cut off all of Puerto Rico's options, why Congress would have wanted Puerto Rico not to be able to invite its municipalities to use municipal bankruptcy, also not to be able to put its own restructuring law in place. So both in terms of the text, I think, and in terms of trying to make sense of what Congress was doing in a context where we have no relevant legislative history that gives us any guidance, I think Puerto Rico probably has the better of the argument, although, you know, it's a close case. The other thing that I would note by way of conclusion is that Congress is busy right now trying to decide whether to step in as well. There's a lot of discussion in Congress about possibly putting a financial control board in place. There's discussion about changing Chapter 9 to allow Puerto Rico's municipalities to use Chapter 9. There is discussion about creating an alternative to Chapter 9, and with either of those options, one possibility on the table is not just limiting it to Puerto Rico's municipalities, as both Chapter 9 and the Recovery Act would do, but including Puerto Rico itself, letting Puerto Rico restructure its own obligations. All of those things are on the table. If Congress actually steps in and passes legislation, which there's a decent chance they will do, it's possible they'll make the case moot. If Congress were to change Chapter 9 to allow Puerto Rico to invite its municipalities to file for municipal bankruptcy, arguably the case would become moot, although with any of the possible scenarios, there are arguments one could imagine that we still would have to decide whether the Recovery Act is legitimate or not. So it's not completely clear that a congressional action would make the case moot. So a lot going on with Puerto Rico. This is the second of two Supreme Court cases involving Puerto Rico. And again, the question is whether Puerto Rico's Recovery Act was preempted by the bankruptcy laws or not.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.